This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, and Brewers Outlet. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
We've informed local authorities just to check on Matt Cotrillo. After last night's impressive Eagles performance.
Well, I do know they're doing a soccer game at 4:30, so if he's on TV, at least we know he's okay, relatively speaking.
Well, we got to wait 3.5 hours then. It's just... Oh. Well, that was... That was bad.
Yeah.
I mean, let's be simple. I mean, that was bad. And here's what's bad about it. When you have the opportunity to throw a left hook and knock a team out, you knock them out. They didn't do it. And of all things, Philadelphia decided to rely on its defense to win the game? Really? What was my evaluation after the Green Bay game? They won in spite of their defense. And last night, in the clutch, there wasn't a single time that pass rush was even remotely close to Kirk Cousins. A guy whose mobility is somewhat limited, and they weren't rushing three, they were rushing four. Couldn't get there. And I think that that is... When they went to the Super Bowl and won it, which is now a few years ago, by the way, I'd like to point out, and then you look, okay, when they went to the Super Bowl 2 years ago and lost, their pass rush was exemplary. I mean, huge numbers of, what did they get, 70 sacks in a season? Does that sound right?
Yeah, because I think it was only 49 last year.
And 49's really good, by the way. I mean, that's almost three per game. Okay. But they had like 70 sacks. They are getting no pressure at all on teams.
Between the three first round picks, Josh Sweat and Bryce Huff, they have played 358 snaps and have zero sacks and one tackle for a loss.
Well, but again,
that's not right, getting in the backfield at all.
Right. I mean, in other words, let's say that Huff has as many sacks so far as Hassan Reddick. Oh, that's right. Reddick's holding out. So that's not good. You know what I think of Jalen Carter? I think he's massively overrated. You know what I think of Jordan Davis? I think he's massively overrated. And now I know he's listed more as a linebacker, but I'm big on Sweat. I think Sweat's a really good player. I really do. And I think Sweat's really good. But the other guys? No. It's let's give credit where credit's due. Mitchell, the corner that they drafted from Toledo, is a terrific player. Man, the more I watch him, the more I like him. Can't say enough good things about him. I've never been a big Slay guy. Nope. But they got no pressure. I mean, no pressure last night. And this is not the days of Brandon Graham and Fletcher Cox and guys like that. And, you know, and let's say, let's give credit where credit's due. Hassan Reddick was really good. But they dealt him. So this is where they are.
That's the running joke this morning. Do you think the Jets and the Eagles just want to redo that trade?
Yeah. Question is whether Philadelphia could have come up with the money to pay Reddick. That part I don't know. It was one of those losses that, like, I mean, are the Eagles really going to be affected by this? In the end, no, because at minimum, they are in a New England Patriots scenario. You're saying, well, what's the New England Patriots scenario? Back in the day, when it was Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, the Patriots pretty much started every season with the idea that they were going to be at minimum 5-1 within the division. Right? They knew they could win at least 5 out of 6 games in the division. The Eagles are in the same spot. The Eagles are going to, in all likelihood, are going to sweep the Giants. The Eagles, in all likelihood, are going to sweep the Commanders. And worst case scenario, they'll split with the Cowboys. That's worst case scenario. They could sweep them. All they have to do is win 6-7 other games. That's it. And they already got one to beat Green Bay. Now, they didn't get last night. And the crushing part is no pass rush against a quarterback whose mobility is still somewhat limited from an Achilles injury, and they got no pressure on him. He was able to stand back there and just go where he needed to.
Yeah, because when he had to move, he still didn't look great.
Right, exactly. Right, no, exactly. And that's... But
they didn't really make a move much.
No, they didn't. And that's the big part of this. They didn't have him move. And that's... But the Eagles offense takes responsibility for this, too. I mean, which quarterback threw for 241? Which one threw for 183? Right? Hurts only threw for 183 yards. He only averaged 6 yards per attempt last night. 6 yards per attempt. That's nothing. And, I mean, Barkley, you know, we all know Barkley dropped the pass at the end. I understand that. I mean, that was big. But Barkley still ran for 95 yards in the game. Right? Bijan Robinson ran for 97. The running backs were both good last night. Both of them were good. But Hurts throws the interception at the end when they've got to still have a shot. A bad throw. And guess what? In the clutch, Kirk Cousins played better in the clutch than Jalen Hurts did. Hurts ran the ball beautifully. Now, you know, because that's something Cousins can't do. But he still makes big mistakes. And it's, now, what was interesting is that, you know, with Jason Kelce on the broadcast, with the tush push happening and the whole deal, right? It just felt like it was a celebration night in Philadelphia all night long until Atlanta at the end crushed the party. I mean, that's the part that's really interesting about it. It's just like all night long, yeah, it went back and forth. Yeah, it went back and forth. But you always felt the entire time, well, Philadelphia's going to. They'll win the game. No. Yeah, I thought they made the right move by having Elliott kick the field goal. I'm fine with that.
That just puts you in the same spot, though. If they go, like, the defense can stop them, the field goal does nothing for you. It's still 6 points.
Right. It's still 6 points, but it means that a field goal can't send the game to overtime.
That's still putting a lot of confidence in that defense.
Right. Right. No, I'm saying, but you see what I'm saying.
Man. Yeah.
In other words, you have to score a touchdown to beat me. You got 38 seconds. Okay. So in 38 seconds, all right. Well, I mean, what? It was what? The drive took what? A minute and five? Took 105? Something like that. So, Cousins, Kyle Pitts, 11 yards, first down. Next play. Okay. Cousins, Mooney, 38-yard to the Philadelphia 38, 21-yard play. Blankenship had to make the tackle. N'Kobe Dean made the tackle on the other one. Okay? Cousins passes it to Mooney, runs out of bounds at the Philadelphia 12, 26 yards. Cousins, short pass to Drake London, pushed out of bounds at the Philadelphia 7 by Mitchell. And then Cousins, short pass to London, 7-yard touchdown. Atlanta got an unsportsmanlike conduct penalty. All right. And Ku had to kick a 48-yard extra point. He made it. And then the Eagles are sitting there, and they've got what? Okay. The Eagles take over with 34 seconds left. So they go to Goddard for 13. Now, again, they need a field goal to win with a field goal kicker that has kicked 2 61-yard field goals in his career to win games. Okay. So that means if I get the ball to the 40-yard line, I have a shot? And he tried to throw the ball downfield. That was intercepted at the Atlanta 32. I mean, you got plenty of time at this point. It's 27 seconds left. What are you doing? I mean, that was a panic throw. Like, what are you doing? And he's trying to force a ball into Devontae Smith. Like, no, you got other guys. It's just the whole night felt like a coronation. Even when they were behind, they'd come back. Everybody's, oh, yeah, this is great. Jason Kelce's having a good time over the booth, blah, 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 blah. Well, what do you mean we lost? That's one where Atlanta won it, and there's one that's also part of it you can talk about where Philadelphia lost it. But again, they're not in bad shape. Again, I expect them to be minimum 5-1 in the division.
I agree completely, but the devil's advocate in me says that the Giants and the Redskins were in that debacle at the end of the year when they lost all those games, too.
Yeah, no, I understand that. Just, you know, the Giants don't have enough talent. They, they have no difference maker at quarterback. And Washington is, I mean, they just won a game where they didn't score a touchdown. Really? That's, let me put it this way. Washington's 1-1. You're going to tell me they're better than Baltimore?
No.
That's exactly right. Washington's biggest advantage, okay, is that they played the Giants. And they played the Giants on a day where Graham Gano was hurt. I mean, that was the key to the whole game. Graham Gano was hurt. Giants missed an extra point, went right after that. Then they started chasing points. They went for two twice. And Washington kicked 7 field goals. Okay. So, there you are. I know that a lot of people have been wondering if Penn State was going to wrestle at Beaver Stadium. Greg Pickle wrote an article today on Blue White Illustrated saying, I'll quote Greg's article, while it's just speculation from this writer, meaning him, it seems unlikely that a Penn State wrestling outdoor duel would take place before the renovation work is done ahead of the 2027 season. Now, they haven't released the schedule yet. At least the full schedule hasn't been released yet, including the what the BJC dual meet happens to be. That hasn't been released yet, and I'm, I know I've said this the last couple of weeks, but I finally took the time to look at last year's press releases. And when I looked at the press releases from last year, it was September 19th last year when they released the basketball schedule in the Big Ten. And, of course, my favorite is the Illinois thing. Well, it's either 7 o'clock or 7:30. Okay, you know what? That's all that matters. Everybody now knows it's a night game. That's really good. All right? So at least the fans now know. But if you notice, they still haven't picked the network. Now, it doesn't matter because it's more about the start time for the fans that are going to the game. So at least that part's taken care of. But these guys that run the networks are just comical to me. They're comical. Just pick a network. Let's go. Hey, come on. They make it... Oh, we got to put a lot into this. Oh, really? Oh, into the category of massive self-importance.
Are they waiting to see if Illinois is ranked, maybe to put it on NBC?
I don't know what they want to do. I can't tell. I can't tell you what they think about anything. I mean, it looks like the Ohio State game's on Peacock. Well, if that's on Peacock, I don't know. At least the fans know it's a night game. They now know if they go up on a Saturday morning, there's going to be a game at night. If they want to go on a Saturday afternoon, the game is at night. I mean, that's the only part to me that counts. After that, but then when I look at it and see no network, which it doesn't matter. You just say, shake your head and go, what is so complicated about this? Am I missing something here? It's not that complicated. Doesn't mean there aren't some decisions that need to be made. I appreciate that. But it's not this complicated. It's September 28th. Okay? You can kind of let just everything just let it fall into place. We're good and just run with what you have. Oh. It's just the darndest thing. Oh, we're not sure yet what we want to do. Really? Just pick. Let's go. Just pick one. Here we go. How if we do it the scientific way? Let's use a dartboard. But at least we have a start time. That's all that matters. And because the fans going to the game should know when the game starts. So that, at least that important part, which to me is the most important part, and it doesn't matter if it's 7 or 7:30. It matters in terms of what our airtime is on radio by a half an hour. I mean, I'm fine with that, but at least the fans know in general it's one of the two, and that's good enough.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Brewers Outlet, Sunbury Motor Company, and Purdy Insurance. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
This half hour being brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Six great flavors of slushies and the pickle bar led by the barrels and the dills, my two favorites. Indeed, second to none. Stock up for your tailgate now at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Always a pleasure on my part to bring in the outstanding Mike Poorman, statecollege.com. Mike, welcome back. Thanks for your time today.
Thank you, Professor Jones. I was just doing some math about Steve Jones, the professor. See if I'm right. You're always good about this. This is year 22 for you teaching, and you're going to hit about 1,000 students in that time, right?
That's probably right. I have 21 this time through, and there was a period of time where I had like two or three springs in a row where I was teaching two classes. So, yeah, that's probably right. Yeah.
Wow, so you're over 1,000. Wow, congratulations. Yeah. That's quite a streak. It's not quite Cal Ripken, but when it comes to teaching broadcasting, sports broadcasting at Penn State, you're an all-time great, Steve.
Yeah, well, first of all, I'm the only one that's done it. So
well, there
I'm
you
also,
go. You're,
I could be ca-
you are
I could be categorized as the
in a class
I could be,
by yourself.
I could be categorized as the worst person I've had doing it too. So
I appreciate that self-effacing humor. nice.
So,
nice.
bye week is at a different time, but that's just the way the schedule fell this time through. What are you looking for out of this team following a bye week? And I know what the competition is Saturday.
I'm looking for a crispness and a ferocity that Jalen Reed showed in the first quarter against West Virginia. If they can find that within themselves, and I think that first quarter by Jalen, I'd be interested to see what you think if there's been someone that's come out with their hair on fire like that. I mean, that may be asking too much, but that's, you know, if that happens, then that comes within, and that comes from within the leadership of the players, not the coaches.
Which, you know, look, they had put together this lion position that is, in a sense, a hybrid. You can play him near the line of scrimmage, you can play him back, and so forth. Is he the type of player that really fits what Tom Allen's been looking for in that kind of guy?
Well, that is a great question. I'm going to put a question back to you that I'm not sure I know the answer. How much do you think that – no one has mentioned this. Are there any similarities to the old hero position?
The old hero position was a strong safety. And that's just what it was called back in the day. It was not a third safety out there.
I thought that guy actually, you know, whether it was a Zordich or some of them, had linebacker, bigger kind of guy qualities.
If they were, it was because they were the fourth linebacker out there and not the third. And that's okay. The difference okay. between them. So that person would be a bigger size, like Reed is a little bit bigger, but you'd be lining up as because they always lined up with three linebackers. Tom, of course, has been lining up with two, and Marcelo Ball was primarily that hybrid guy most years at Indiana, where he was part safety, part DB, part safety, part linebacker. Because they were lining up with two linebackers a lot. This is a case where Penn State's been lining up with two linebackers. He essentially becomes the third, as opposed to back in the day with the hero position. The hero position was strong safety, but then would come up and be the fourth linebacker in a 4-4 look.
Well, great explanation. But I guess, from the X's and O's, it's that. But... Yeah, Reed's not super. He's not super big. He's really solid.
Yeah. I agree with that.
But I will say this: he certainly has the right mentality.
Yeah.
How's that for an answer?
Yeah. No, that makes complete sense. They have played six quarters of excellent defense out of eight. Because the second half against Bowling Green, until the final drive, they'd only given up 48 yards in the second half.
It was like six in the third quarter. I think that was a defining number, because they came out and they go, listen, let's do this right, and 6 yards is really nothing.
Right, and that's essentially what they did in the first half. Yeah, quick game got to him. There's no question about that. And once they, because Bazelak was 13 of his first 15, he then was only 12 of his next 24.
You may have mentioned this on your broadcast.
Yeah,
but he's at least going to camp in the NFL, and that was his 42nd start as a big time college quarterback. I mean, that guy was good. He was serious. He was a quality, experienced quarterback.
He had started at Missouri. He started at Indiana. So he had started in the Power Four. And we had pointed this out before the game that, you know, he does this. In other words, and we pointed out the tight end before the game that we thought he was a big-time player. So it's not as if before the game, we didn't point out that Bowling Green had the capability of doing this offensively, because they do. It's going to be interesting to see how they finish out in all this. this will be the last regular season non-conference game. Is this the kind of game that has the potential to set a tone to go into the Big Ten, or is there another way to look at it?
No, I mean, as much as maybe, and that's a good question, and that would be kind of the hope. But, you know, Penn State's going to get into the game, and they know better than anybody, one, maybe two series in, the quality of the competition.
Sure.
And they'll figure that out quickly. I think the practice on Sunday is going to be as important as a game on Saturday. How quickly they can turn on the dime. How serious are they? How are they really into it for the first time in several weeks in a real game week? You know, the mentality of the players. I think as I'm thinking about, okay, what am I going to write on Sunday after the game? It won't be about the Saturday game. It'll be about, it's game week. This is a real team, and they have a real football coach, so they have to take it seriously. I'm not that you, even maybe with Kent State, you can look ahead, but I think how they begin next week is even more important.
Yeah.
Because they're going to perform okay on Saturday.
Yeah, because I am going to take a long, hard look at the Illinois-Nebraska game on Friday night. I mean, that to me is on the checklist of what they have to do. I want to ask about college football officiating, maybe officiating overall. Josh Pate of CBS Sports wrote an article about this, and I'll give you at least what my opinion is, and then I want to get yours. My opinion is quite simply this: the key to officiating is, does somebody gain advantage on the play by doing something? So look, if there's a holding penalty on an offensive lineman, it gives the quarterback more time, okay, advantage. But if I'm over here and if I'm throwing to the left, and I'm obviously throwing to the left, and a tug happens over on the right, why am I throwing that flag? Why? It has nothing to do with the play. Nobody gained an advantage. Zero. Now, if the ball goes in that direction, I'll throw the flag because now it's in my direction. But see, there are a lot of things I don't get because people don't pay to watch people officiate games.
No, I think you're right. This is where I thought you might go with that, but this may go hand in hand. The dollars involved these days and the stakes are so high that... And I don't know the percentage of officials at college football that's all they do. But in the NFL, that's all they do. And so one game could decide, one call could decide whether you make the playoffs, which has hundreds, millions of dollars of repercussions. And as college football is really a professional league, it has to be professional from beginning to end, and I guess I'm maybe taking you a place you weren't intending. But I read a piece the other day about the folks in the staff, the general managers that are now the general managers, the people that are now the internal NIL people. It's those people. They are being paid at a rate that is getting close to, some of them, it's between $500,000 and $1 million.
Yep.
So as the sport becomes more professionalized, yes, the officials, the sideline officials, the replay people, all of those have to be at a caliber that they've never been before.
Yeah, my biggest problem is really has rarely, if ever, been the guys on the field or the women on the field. It really hasn't. My problem in recent years is a problem I didn't think was going to happen. My problem's been with the replay guys. They've made so many baffling decisions. The West Virginia game, Jack and I kept looking at each other like, what, they called what? You confirm that?
I mean, like, even at the beginning with the West Virginia clapping signals, could you see that on the
We only knew about that because Brian Tripp mentioned it to us on the sideline with something that we didn't see up in the booth. So Brian mentioned that on the sideline because he's down there. Because I don't do the game off TV. And when Brian mentioned it, we're like, ah, no wonder Drew's upset. And so, I mean, things like that. Now, you know, first of all, it's the West Virginia defense that's out there, which means the crowd is louder, which means the ability of an official to hear that is more difficult. How about that?
No, that is good. As a quick aside, of all the things I've seen from Drew, and I'm probably like everybody else, right? His reaction to that, and then his stiff arm later, like those are the things. Those are the things that you really love to see from your quarterback, who's now a veteran. Those type of intangibles, because both times it gets the sideline fired up and the whole team's into it. Like, this is our guy, right?
Well, he's a little bit lighter, and because he's been in the weight room an extra year, he's stronger. So he's a little bit quicker, you know, point A to point B. And because of the weight room, he can throw a stiff arm, he's stronger. And that's where he is right now. Go ahead.
I saw a lot of people gave Chuck Losey a lot, and he should. A lot of people gave Chuck Losey credit for that stiff arm.
Yeah. When you look at his level of play, it's two games, but when you've looked at his level of play, have you seen something different from Drew Aller?
Yeah. No. Yes. His willingness. Hey, I don't know how to put it, but the answer is yes. And it's in all that he does, and that's what you want. You know, that position, there's so many other things that go into it. So I think those things are happening, and I think that's that bodes well. Like, I did a preseason list of the most important people on the football team, and Drew's one, and Andy was two. You know, I think how Drew goes, the team will go this year. That's pretty simplistic, but I do believe that.
I do have to ask you about what they were going to eventually do with Beaver Stadium. I mean, Mike, you've been there for decades. I mean, the difference is you don't look it, but you've been there for decades.
Well, thank you.
You've seen what the place has always looked like and what they've done with it or what they haven't done with it. How interested are you in how this final product is going to be and what it's going to mean for the fans?
Well, that's a good question. I have to tell you what really I think has been for me, because I wear a lot of hats at Penn State, I like the West. The West Tower is, Pat's done a great job of getting some significant money from some significant people to build that out, to turn that into a welcome center, so that it's not a seven days a year thing, that it is a welcome center. It's where, you know, when students and their families, potential students and their families come in, you know, Shields or the Hub is a rallying point. Now it'll be this, when this is all done, it'll be this stadium. And it, you know, it's the old saying is that your athletic department, your football team is the front porch to the university.
Yes.
Well, yeah. Literally that welcome center is going to have a front porch. And I think that's a great marketing tool for Penn State. It's really smart. And I'll be honest, I like that all the money is not just going for one sports team. It's going to benefit all the university. And Misitano and Lubert are very smart and very generous to make that happen. And they're going to get a lot more bang for their buck, and so is Penn State, by making that your portal to coming to the university as a prospective student.
That's a great point. And the two anonymous gifts as well. We just don't know the names attached to it.
Mike, well, Steve, that was so great of you to put forth that gift. I'm going to out you on the air that I know that one of those $210 million was from you. So thank you very much.
Yeah, I don't like to brag. All right, so, yeah, right. Okay, Mike, always a pleasure. Thank you so much. Appreciate the time you gave us today.
And you're welcome, and I'm sincere. I know the impact. I mean, we know the same kids. 1,000 kids, 22 years, that's a big deal. Congratulations, Steve.
Well, Mike, thank you. That's very kind of you. Hey, we'll talk to you soon.
Right. All right, take care, bud. Bye-bye.
Mike Poorman, StateCollege.com, also teaches in the College of Communications. We'll take a break. People are asking what time Macatrillo is on today. We believe we have located him. He is walking back and forth with a sign in front of the NovaCare Center. Rough night.
You can't tell what it says because all the names are so small of the people he wants to fire.
Yeah, oh, I know. I understand. But all I know is little Mark and little Luke. JP's not old enough yet. Why is Daddy screaming so much? Hey, no words. Why did Daddy throw the high chair against the TV? Oh boy, hasn't been like that since Aaron Judge struck out. All right, in the playoffs. Back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Penn State Saturday takes on Kent State. Christian Ackenberg, Jason Kabinda start at 1. Jack Ham, Brian Tripp, and I start with Roger Corey at 2. And you will have it for you on Eagle 107. And I know you've got some high school football on Friday night to take care of.
I will be at Warrior Run for Warrior Run in Lewisburg.
It's a battle of the unbeaten, right?
It is, sir. And then Saturday, I will be listening to you because we're going golfing.
Oh, good. Good. Where are you going to play?
Indian Hills.
Oh, nice. I've heard a lot of good things about Indian Hills. I never played it, but I've heard a lot of good things about it.
I've actually never played it either.
Okay.
So I'm actually looking forward to it.
Oh, good. That's terrific. That's terrific. Glad you get out and relax, because every time I turn around, you're logging hours deep into the night.
Well, you know, it's a life.
Look, I believe me, you're just doing what it takes to get the job done. And you would be one that would never complain about either how many hours you put in or anything like that. But the bottom line is, yeah, you put a lot of time and effort into it.
Well, it's not
shows.
Like you say, it's not time and effort if it's fun.
Yeah, that is. I tell everybody, I said, I'm not out in the middle of the road running a jackhammer. I'm sitting there talking with Jack Ham. It's pretty good. Neil Coolong, next half hour. No Matt today. We can't get him off the protest line.